Welcome to the 2012 Federal Executive Forum Series on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today's program will focus on the critical issues facing government and industry leaders in securing cyberspace. Here's your host, Jim Fleisig.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Jim Fleisig. We're going to talk today critical issues facing government and industry leaders in securing cyberspace, a hot topic and one that continues to be a high priority for the nation. With me on the show today are Richard Hale, the Chief Information Security Officer at OSD, Bobby Stempfli, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Cybersecurity and Communications at the Department of Homeland Security, Colonel John Surdu, the Military Chief, Combined Action Group, U.S. Cyber Command and NSA, Lee Holcomb, the Vice President, Cyber Initiatives, Lockheed Martin Information Systems and Global Solutions, Tom Conway, the Director of Federal Business Development at McAfee Security, and Ray Patterson, the VP for Enterprise Security at HP. Let's get into the topics. Let's start with Bobby Stempfli over at DHS. What are some of the areas, Bobby, you think where we're seeing progress being made? It's such a broad topic. There's so many issues in cyber. Where do you think you're seeing tangible progress being made?
So one of the great things about being at the Department of Homeland Security is it is a broad topic, and
sure.
We have a position in that breadth. And so I'm really pleased to talk about the work that we've done over 2011 and what that foundation that lays for 2012, because we are making progress in areas like information sharing with industry, both in an operational level and at a more broadly at a strategy and technology level. We talk about the needs to build community and to link operation centers together, and there's been progress in that area. In the .gov space, right, in the protection of government, something else that we're responsible for at the department, you see measurable progress being made in things like the trusted internet connection sites, in the transition of FISMA responsibilities, the operational responsibilities to the department, and those FISMA scores as well. And then laying that foundation for movement to continuous monitoring into the future is really an important test, and I think we'll continue to see progress in that area. And finally, awareness, right? That's education and awareness.
Right.
And so the broad education responsibilities and how we bring the nation to a bigger level. And so this week, for example, last week, for example, we're at Stop Think Connect Miami.
Right.
So we have not just a national campaign for awareness, but a community by community campaign so we can reach the nation in that area.
Yeah, I know, because I know the DHS role has been evolving in that, in the awareness. One thing about this subject, it requires everyone to be part of it if we're going to, get out in front of it. Colonel Surdu at U.S. Cyber Command, what are some of the areas that you see progress being made in addressing the cybersecurity challenges?
So there's a number of areas, and I agree with what Bobby said about some of the progress that's being made. But two other things that I'd point out is that, 2 years ago, Operation Buckshot Yankee revealed some vulnerabilities in our defense networks, and there's been some recent open source reporting on that.
Yes, I've been reading that.
And that, it uncovered some vulnerabilities, and it provided the impetus to form Cyber Command, take some disparate organizations across DOD,
right.
Form them together,
right.
And it's allowed us to improve our processes and build capabilities that are actually making the networks more secure. And the other thing is that both the President's strategy and the defense strategy on cyber talk about partnering and teamwork, and I think we're seeing a lot of productive communications between industry, government, academia on solutions, building processes, working authorities. I think we're seeing a lot of progress in those areas and expect to see more of that in the upcoming year.
Yeah, terrific. I know I do chair the AFSEA, Homeland Security Committee, and we're actually recording our next show will be done live from the conference at the end of February. But we've been working with the Cyber Committee also, which has a major Cyber Command presence. We're working back and forth to coordinate things, and the coordination seems to really be improving almost on a daily basis. Lee Holcomb over Lockheed Martin. Lee, you've sort of seen this issue from as a government employee and now from a private sector. How's a company like Lockheed positioning to support government in addressing some of these, and where do you see progress being made?
Absolutely. There's a couple of events that happened last year that I think mark the beginning of some real progress. We conducted jointly with the Department of Defense the DIB, or Defense Industrial Base Pilot Program. It really laid the framework, basically the legal and policy aspects of how government and industry can work together to protect assets in the private sector, and also in the .gov domain. So I think that was a significant pilot last year. Mm-hmm. I would echo what Bobby mentioned about cyber awareness. We really have seen an uptake in the number of cyber awareness events in the country, and you know, we hosted at Lockheed Martin last year our second cyber awareness event in conjunction with DHS, NIST, and NSA. Very successful event, several hundred high school students. Mm-hmm. And we see more of those events happening at the community level around the country. I think that's really changing the situation. I also think the awareness of the severity of the cyber attacks was changed somewhat last year. ODNI put out a report that publicly stated the magnitude of the intellectual property loss in this country due to cyber attacks. And I think that you know, that was an eye-opener for many, many individuals and many companies. Right. So I think there are really some changes in the dialogue and awareness in this country.
Yeah, I do too. I agree. I think the awareness, some of you may know, I taught cybersecurity at the graduate level at Maryland for 17 years on Saturdays. And the course over that 17 years, it got to the point where you couldn't get in. It was like it would sell out before it was even announced. And they had to expand it dramatically because of so many individuals trying to get involved, which I think is a good sign for the future in terms of having educated individuals, because it is such a complex area. Richard Hale, over at OSD, what are some of the areas that you see progress being made in addressing some of these key issues?
So I think a big event for DOD this year was publishing the defense strategy for operations in cyberspace. Brought a lot of different things together and really clarified DOD's way ahead mm-hmm. In this complicated space. Another place where I think we made substantial progress inside the government was as a result of WikiLeaks. So WikiLeaks was a real failure of cybersecurity. We did not address the insider threat problem adequately. It was clearly an interagency problem. So it wasn't just a Department of Defense problem. And so I think that the White House efforts to lead a whole-of-government approach around reaction to WikiLeaks and standardizing and improving security in the classified networks has been tremendous this year. So we now have an executive order, and we now have clear leads for setting common standards for cybersecurity in the classified networks, all of them, for setting standard operational processes, for setting standard risk management processes, and for deploying common cybersecurity services, things like identity services. So I think that's gigantic. We've come together, whole of government, sharing has never been better, working together has never been better. And I think, again, some of the other comments that we've heard, we're doing this outside government as well, but inside government we've made a lot of progress with this business, driven again by an incident,
right.
But it's been really positive since then.
Right, and that's a great point. I think I will come back and visit that when we talk about the future here, because I still hold the opinion that even though we've got tremendous activity going on across the board, we're still somewhat reactionary. Something bad happens, and then we address the bad thing. And it seems to me that there's more talk now of trying to get proactive, get out in front of the thing, so we stop the problem before it actually happens. But we'll come back to that. Tom Conway over at McAfee. How's a company like McAfee positioning, and what are some of the areas of progress that you're observing as you move along?
And we look across government as well as communities like the DIB, and I think it's an interesting journey we've been through. There's an old organizational adage, how you form. You have forming, storming, norming, and performing. Mm-hmm. Luckily, the first two, we've put those largely behind us. The organizations like Cyber Command and DHS have been formed. All the institutional changes that result from that have occurred. And now we're in an area where we're normalizing operations, as Richard mentioned and Bobby, and things like CyberScope and continuous monitoring. So we've made huge progress in that. There are great exercises occurring. Cyber Flag occurred for the first time in DOD in the fall, and additional ones will go into the future. CyberScope is getting more mature and over time. There's a national level exercise upcoming where cyber is a major element, not just within government, but with industry support as well. I think other areas which we'll see this as we move into the performing stage, as you mentioned, Jim, is getting more proactive, sharing information at an operational level, at a higher level. We're doing it now, we can always do better. And I think going forward, as we synchronize research and development across the government, as well as leveraging what industry is doing, I think you'll see even a higher level. We'll go from norming into more of a performing mechanism.
Okay, I like that. The first I've heard that. It's an interesting way to look at it. Ray Patterson over at HP, what are some of the areas of progress you're observing?
Sure. So it really in two key areas. We think that, you know, over the course of the past couple of years, and I'll echo what Mr. Hale said regarding WikiLeaks, because there are events that cause, you know, the approach to problems to become more sophisticated. And, you know, for a long time, the approach within government to cybersecurity was similar to putting up the wall of a fort, right? Everything was very perimeter threat focused. And the recognition that the threat inside the organization is just as important, if not more important, than the external threat has come full circle by way of very, very high profile, you know, releases. And in terms of the need to collaborate, one of the things that we're seeing that is going to, I think, be realized in the short term or the near term is there's a lot of discussion taking place around collaboration and sharing of threat signatures across a community. We see it in government. We see it in, you know, the Fortune 100 level within the banking and the financial industry as well. And in government within certain, you know, branches of the service, for instance, there's a lot of talk and discussion around wanting to share threat exchange signatures so that we don't have to relearn and fall into the same trap twice.
Right.
And so that's a very positive sign, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the collaboration we're seeing, it's and based on what I just listened to in that first questionnaire, it sounds like there's an awful lot of cross conversations going on that in the past we didn't see. Let's talk about some priorities for going ahead here, priorities for the year. Let's start with Richard Hale this time over at OSD. What are some of your priorities now? What are sort of like your on your hot list of things to work on over the next year?
So I'll talk about some stuff inside DOD again, and then the interagency. So Afghanistan and a number of other missions, again, brought home the fact that DOD does nothing by itself. We do everything in partnership with others. And so the department has an effort this year to relook at the structure of the warfighting networks and make those so that they are more adaptable, so that we can do more agile, safe sharing more quickly with whatever set of mission partners. So whatever classification we need to work at, whether it's unclassified for disaster relief, for instance, or whether it's classified for military command and control. So this business of the future mission network and architecting that properly is one of the priorities for this year. Another priority is that we're taking advantage of a tough situation, I think, in that the budget is declining, but we're trying to use that as a forcing function to standardize the structure of computing, the networks, workstation configurations, things like that. So so we're using this as a way to move to a common computing platform for the department across all the networks. So this business of designing that properly and designing cybersecurity in rather than reacting it in is a priority this year. And then executing the WikiLeaks plan. You know, we have this good plan across the government. Again, it's a plan that balances sharing and cybersecurity. So the government's reaction, I thought, was a very good one. The idea was to improve cybersecurity without breaking the progress we'd made in sharing. And so we have a plan to do that. One of the important parts of that plan is the thing that I've been pushing inside the Department of Defense for many years, which is driving out anonymity in the government's networks.
Right.
So this year in DOD, we're going to deploy on the CIPRNet PKI on hard tokens. So we're going to improve the PKI that we have now. And the really great news about this is we're going to do this as an interagency. So we are going to have a common identity credential across the whole federal government for the classified networks, a strong credential. Again, DOD will do its deployment this year. And then DoD is going to be the service provider for credential issuance for many of the other agencies in the federal government.
Oh, terrific.
So that's fantastic, too. This emphasis on shared services and sharing. Just a couple more. I know I'm going long here. But so we've also had a strong effort to tackle the supply chain problem in DoD. Mm. And that's also been an interagency effort. And what we've tried to do then in DoD is work into our acquisition policies a way to address supply chain concerns early, so we're not trying to clean up later.
Right.
So this year, institutionalizing that in DoD acquisition is one of my priorities. And finally, expanding the DoD's program with the Defense Industrial Base to improve sharing by broadening the number of companies that are involved in this program. So we've had the program for 4 years. We've built on it with DHS, with Cyber Command, with NSA to more automatically share. But the base program, again, is still a DoD program, and this year we hope to expand by some number of companies. We have a thing called a federal rule that has to be finalized, but once that's done, we will start expanding as quickly as we can.
Terrific. That's a pretty good agenda. They got a lot on your plate. The and I think you're right. You know, we've had conversations on the show before with cloud and data center consolidation and everything else that, in a way, it's an opportunity to throw away a lot of those Band-Aid approaches to security and look at a holistic approach when you go to, some of these newer centers and so forth. Colonel Serdeau, what are some of the priorities on your list on your for the year?
So at the beginning, you announced my title as the chief of the Combined Action Group. So there's two separate and distinct organizations, the National Security Agency and Cyber Command.
Right.
Different authorities, different missions, different strengths, different things that they bring to the fight. Close collaboration, happen to be headed by the same person. General Alexander is the director of the NSA as well as the commander of Cyber Command. And so he's got a set of five priorities that cut across both organizations, because as the Combined Action Group, I'm the only organization that sits both in the NSA and in Cyber Command. So General Alexander, I think, would tell you that his overall priority is to prevent what Secretary Panetta called the Cyber Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. And to do that, he's got five priorities that both organizations are pursuing. So the first one is to improve situational awareness across the networks, because if you can't see the networks, you can't defend the networks.
Right.
The second one is to create trained and ready cyber teams, and we can talk more perhaps about workforce development and building those cyber teams. Along those lines, each of the services has a different set of training standards, priorities, certifications. And so we're pushing for uniform standards across all the services so that, Navy folks can operate on Army networks and help defend them and have those certification requirements at the team level.
Okay.
Right. The third one is to build a more defensible architecture. It's been alluded to already that, our networks weren't necessarily built with defensibility designed into them from the beginning.
Right.
And so there are things pursuing tactics, techniques, capabilities for active cyber defense, IT efficiencies, some of those kinds of things. The fourth priority for him is to continue to pursue and evolve and develop and improve the authorities for Cyber Command to help defend the nation. While we have a stated mission to defend Department of Defense, he believes that when called upon or requested, right, that our job is also to help defend the nation against the cyber attack. And then finally, it's to build the command and control processes and concepts for operating in cyberspace that will allow us to do all of those things effectively. Cyber is a team sport. Lots of agencies, private sector, we all bring something to the fight. What we need to do is figure out how to leverage what everybody brings to the fight in a way that will be most effective to, again, prevent that Cyber Pearl Harbor. We have a history as a nation, of waiting until after a catastrophe to try to solve these
problems.
Exactly. We're
a reactionary society, no doubt about it.
And then finally, there are people who will sometimes couch this idea of security and civil liberties as a balancing act, and he would tell you that
It's not a balancing act. We can do both.
Absolutely.
Right? It's it's not a matter of having to give up one to get to the other. We can do both things, but we have to work through those processes.
Right. I used to make the argument if you get good security, you'd be able to protect privacy better than we can today. But, yeah, some great stuff there. And I need to hear from our other panelists on this, but we do need to take a short break. You're listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
It happens millions of times every day. Cyber attacks aimed at the networks that are the brains and backbone of every government program and military mission. At Lockheed Martin, we understand the importance of cybersecurity. That's why we build security into every system we develop and integrate. Assuring that our customers can carry out their missions without disruptions is all a question of how. And it is the how that makes all the difference. Lockheed Martin. We never forget who we're working for.
The rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements make protecting citizens' confidential information increasingly challenging. McAfee is the standard throughout federal, military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to assuring federal networks remain resilient against the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, call 888-VIRUS-NO or go to McAfee.com/government.
Worried about cyber attacks, cyber espionage, and advanced persistent threats? HP Enterprise Security, powered by ArcSight, Tipping Point, and Fortify Solutions, gives you 360-degree security monitoring, enabling you to detect incidents, proactively test security to protect applications, and block attacks with adaptive network defenses. It has platform integration to help manage your agency's risk. Learn about HP Enterprise Security Solutions, powered by ArcSight, Tipping Point, and Fortify. Visit HPEnterpriseSecurity.com.
Welcome back to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jim Fleisig here with Richard Hale from OSD, Bobby Stempfli from DHS, John Serdu from U.S. Cyber Command and NSA, Lee Holcomb from Lockheed Martin, Tom Conway from McAfee, and Ray Patterson from HP. We're talking cybersecurity. We were talking about priorities for the year and current priorities when we went to break. Let's come back and pick up with Bobby Stempfli over DHS. What are some of the priorities on your list, Bobby, for the year?
As we talked about, the department's responsibilities in cybersecurity are fairly broad, and so unfortunately our priority list tends to address that breadth as well.
Sure.
Obviously, continued focus on increasing the protections and defenses in the .gov space. Right, can't ever phase off on that, particularly with the challenges associated with transition to continuous monitoring other activities, delivery of Einstein, other mechanisms. To the colonel's point, I think it's important. We have, over the course of the last several years, put together national plans for how the nation will be successful in its defensive and response efforts. So the National Cybersecurity Incident Response Plan, which is exercised on a fairly regular basis through the Cyberstorm activities, the continued maturation of the organizations who are a part of that is a focus area for this year as we lead up to NLE 12, which is a combined a national exercise with a cyber focus as well as a physical focus, and involves the entire nation, states, industry, and federal government as well. Promoting the technology roadmap, right? The things we've heard earlier in terms of let's design it in. There are these re-architecting moments that are facing us right now as we move to cloud, as we transition major pieces of the infrastructure, not just in an IT space, but in a comms space as well. And so how we partner across government and industry in order to be successful in that situation is a priority for us this year. Continued information sharing as we mature the cybersecurity information sharing framework, where we actually have on our ops floor and in a strategic sense relationships and information sharing of threat indicators with ISACs and with other corporations, states, and other members. That's a significant part of that that activity as well. And then the continued partnership with the .com community, particularly as the preponderance of the critical infrastructure is in the hands of the private sector. And that's a broad set of things, from owners and operators of a power plant to a large global corporation. Right. Those are different relationships and different environments, and we have to work across that breadth over the course of the next year in order to be successful.
Yeah, the scope, the complexities and scope of the challenges are just so broad that it's hard to even think about where to even start when you try to address the entire scope of challenges. Ray Patterson over HP, what are some of the priorities that HP has on the table to support the government in addressing some of these issues?
Sure. So to your point, the realm of opportunity is almost infinite. And in terms of how customers, whether it's, within government or commercially, are representing the problem to be, they want a holistic solution. Mm-hmm. So that, they're not trying to put the finger in the dam time and again. And so the things that we're working on and we're delivering for government today and in the future are things like specific solutions around data leakage. Mm-hmm. We keep going back to the WikiLeaks-like scenario, right? Things around universal log management, because we believe that at the very basic level, if an organization is not addressing the very binary level of log management and the data itself at the application layer and below, then there's a critical vulnerability in there in and of itself. And so in terms of how we're working with customers to make them more secure, we're fostering and we're implementing and deploying those types of solutions for their benefit.
Yeah, terrific. Yeah, I know that data leakage issues comes up again and again. It seems like there's solutions there. You just have to, address the problem and deploy them. Lee Holcomb over at Lockheed, how are you? What are some of the priorities on your list of things to do to help the government meet its mission goals?
Sure. Lockheed's really focused on trying to address hard problems that we see from the government, and we've got a very long list of hard problems that have been thrown out this morning.
The list of problems is not tough. That's easy to come up with.
One of the things we've focused on is something we call intelligence-driven defense. In the past, I've referred to it as the cyber kill chain. It's a methodology that we use internally. And we're taking that approach and technique and extending it as best we can. In addition to using it here domestically with federal agencies, we're getting inquiries from other countries that have expressed interest in trying to use that technique and methodology. And also the private sector has been asking us to understand better our approach. We have formed an alliance with 17 companies in the cybersecurity area, includes HP and McAfee, our panel members here today. And mm-hmm. part of that effort is to take the best of each of those solutions and offer them to the government customer. You've heard a lot about continuous monitoring. Certainly that's an area where we think solutions are needed and are now rolling out to support various government agencies. And also, finally, the area of resiliency. We're looking at how do you build resilient systems,
right.
systems that can fight through the attack
and recover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great stuff. And it's nice to hear about all the collaboration going on, too, and companies all working together for best practices. Tom Conway over at McAfee, how about you, Tom, in terms of priorities for helping address some of these key issues?
In 2012, I think our priority is to help our clients in government and people supporting government go down a journey what we call through something called the security maturity model. And there's four phases to that. First phase is reactive, as we've all talked about. You're fighting fires. After that, you evolve into a stage where you're compliant, where you're reacting to things that somebody else is telling you to do. Some of that could be FISMA compliance, continuous monitoring. But you need to move beyond that into something we call more proactive defense.
Mm-hmm.
What is the mission? What is the threat? You're trying to stay ahead of it. And then the last stage is optimize, where you're going to stay ahead of the threat, but how do you do that more efficiently? And this time of budget cuts, as Richard mentioned, you need to do that. So as you move from reactive to compliant to proactive to optimize, we actually have empirical data to show that your security posture goes up and your spend goes down in the final phases, which is needed in this budget environment. And the means to that are things, as people talked about, Ray talked about, situational awareness, not just within your networks, but all the other networks you affiliate yourself
right.
with. That's a key part of it. Data protection is another end to that piece as well. And then intelligence sharing, which lends itself to situational awareness. All the time you're doing this, your architecture is going to change. You're going to some element of cloud. You're going to more of an element of mobility. So you don't have the luxury of doing this with a static architecture. You need to implement this model while you're dramatically changing your architecture at the same time.
Yeah, it's sort of like you're changing as you go along, and it does offer a lot of challenge. I know I tell a lot of companies that I talk to that you can't just come up with a solution that costs X amount of dollars without first thinking about how can this help streamline, consolidate, reduce costs, be more holistic solution, displace some old stuff, you know, because it's going to be hard to get new money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the solution's got to be thought out as a way you can implement something and save something else that's equal to or greater than that cost. Let's switch over and talk a little bit now about the hard things, the challenges, the things that are still need to be overcome to get where we want to go. And let's start this time with Colonel Sturdeau. What are some of the things that are still difficult, things that you need to find a way to overcome, challenges that you need to hit, the hurdles you need to jump over in order to get where you plan to go or where you want to be?
So there's really a couple of things, and they relate to the five priority areas that I mentioned earlier. But to sort of boil it down to, you can't defend what you can't see. Mm-hmm. Depending on who's the source of the information is, or what day of the week, or, you know, the DoD has something like 15,000 different network enclaves, right? So that's very difficult to see and defend all of sure. that with different policies, procedures, those kinds of things. And so, you know, we think that one of our challenges is to collapse our networks to perhaps one isn't the right number, but certainly something less than 15,000.
You're right.
and then to build a workforce that's trained and certified to do not just one kind of network operation, but many. We're working toward concepts of active cyber defense, right? So rather than just defending at the boundary, right, we're working on the capability, capacity, situational awareness, authorities to be able to do active defense, to be more proactive, mm-hmm. And to be able to react appropriately very quickly. What the challenge is that the time to react to a cyber attack is very small.
Absolutely.
And so it requires us to work together to develop the policies and procedures at the plumbing level. I mean, we have broad sort of agency
sure.
agreement, but to work at the very detailed action officer level to figure out how do we react very quickly when there isn't time to put a bunch of key stakeholders together for a teleconference, right, to work through it. When there's time, certainly you want to
right.
do that level of collaboration. But what we need to be working toward is how do we do that? How do we empower that? How do we enable that when you don't have time for that level of coordination? But you want to react quickly to make sure that a piece of the network doesn't go down, a piece of the critical infrastructure isn't taken out.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I participated in a webinar, and it was about talking about living in the fifth dimension. It's a dimension where time equals zero. Because that's where we're going in a lot of ways. When at some of these events, there is no time to plan anything.
And with right. between, I mean, some of these attacks can take place in some number of milliseconds.
That's right, and it could come out of nowhere. Same effects. Thing with DHS. Any type of event there comes. So you know, you really got to start thinking about how do you deal in a world where time is approaching zero in terms of how fast you have to react. Bobby, what do you think in terms of challenges? I know we already talked about the complexity of the issue itself, so there's so many of them, but what are some of the ones that are, you know, really on the top of the list that you're really trying to overcome to get where you want to go?
So we've talked about one of them, sort of been pervasive underneath all of our discussions, and that is the financial and economic challenges
yeah.
that are facing everyone. And so as we're going through the next several years, talking about the kinds of changes that need to be made in order for us to be successful in delivering things like situational awareness, derived from a continuous monitoring, understanding the mm-hmm. network, these are moments where departments and agencies, where companies, where other members are making real hard choices
right.
about where to put the dollar, the $1 they have in this situation. And so our challenge is to be able to articulate as clearly as possible, as concisely as we can, the value proposition for these kinds of changes that are necessary for us to be successful. And so, I mean, it's a real underpinning problem behind all of this. And that means we have to do things like awareness. We have to be able to help people understand not only what the threat is, but what they can do about it, so it's not a throw up your hands mm-hmm. Kind of philosophy. It means we have to be able to argue for a different future. So you talk about time coming to zero. We need to fight the urge to only focus on the problem we're facing today. And that's a very real reaction to
right.
the time equals
Absolutely.
Zero, the threat happens in a millisecond, kind of environment. So we have to have as much of a focus on redefining the future as we do on ensuring we have operational priorities today. And then we have to have the agility as a nation to be able to respond. And that is, you know, as much as defining set of processes and procedures as it is recognizing that this future we're facing requires us to think a little bit differently.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're all forced to start thinking the unthinkable in certain situations. And you're right about security. It's been such a I'd argue it's such a tough sell in the past because it costs you in three ways. It costs money, it may have some implications for the performance on your systems, and of course it may have some issues with ease of use. You know, people don't like to have to do anything that's you know, like make it nice and simple. But on the other hand, I'd argue that for companies that embrace it and have good security, to me that will become synonymous with quality or trusted organizations. And if you're not taking the dealing with the issues, then you're likely to have a difficult time competing because you're not going to get that trust or quality reputation. Richard Hale, how about Dover OSD? What are some of the key challenges that you see today that you're trying to overcome to get where you want to be with this program?
So as usual, I have a long list of challenges. Some of the ones that we're going to focus a lot on this year are first clarifying the definition of cybersecurity. So we focused a lot on keeping secrets, protecting information, but really what we're after in DoD, as importantly, is dependable mission execution in the face of cyber warfare.
Sure.
And so this big organization called DoD has a lot of moving parts, and we need everybody to move together. So clarifying definitions is very important. So focusing on dependable mission execution and focusing on defining cybersecurity as enabling agile, safe sharing are part of what we're going to try to do this year in policy and procedures. The second big challenge is achieving this mission dependability when everything is hooked together. So everything is almost hooked together now, but more and more we have the same SCADA system problems, the same industrial right. control system problems that the rest of the world has. And so achieving mission dependability right. when really, truly, we've hooked it all together in the single network.
Yeah, because somewhere you got to find that weakest link, right?
As Colonel Serdieu mentioned, you know, we're on that path. So a third challenge is to make technology uptake more agile. Security folks aren't always the people who are saying yes when a good new idea comes along. But we have, I think, you know, significant shifts in the technology business with cloud and mobile in particular, and DoD is not taking rapid advantage of those things. So improving our uptake and figuring out how to use cloud and mobile safely in DoD, because it gives us operational advantages and efficiency advantages, is a real challenge this year. A challenge that we will continue to struggle, all of us, is this establishing of trust. So, right. so like you said, organizations will hit some maturity level and will trust each other. Establishing that and maintaining that, and then in some of these mission operation situations, figuring out when that's changed,
right?
So that somebody isn't trustworthy anymore is a huge challenge. So how do we detect that? So how do we establish that trust? Again, that takes a long time sometimes. And then how do we detect that something has changed? And one more, because again, I'll go on this one. I think that much of this cybersecurity problem is a big data problem, figuring out what's going on. We've talked situational right. awareness a lot. It is incredibly fundamental. If we're going to get good situational awareness and then we're going to react as quickly as we need to, we're going to need automation, a lot of it. We're going to need right. to hook everything together in ways that we haven't. So I think pushing interoperability standards across government and industry so that all of this stuff can hook together and we can be situationally aware and we can develop automated ways to do things is a huge challenge.
Right.
So interoperability of security stuff.
Right. Yeah, I know. Big data is an issue that's really grown up, too. We are going to be doing some shows on it, too. And you're right about trust. I used to have a saying, if you want to have trustworthy employees, first thing you have to do is start to trust them. But you know, you didn't use the word culture, but we've done 76 radio shows, and I think every show somewhere along the way, the culture of the organizations and for sharing and trusting and all that comes into play big time, comes up every show. I want to hear from our private sector folks on this also, but first we need to take a short break. You're listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Federal IT organizations and prime contractors are experiencing a rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements. McAfee is the standard throughout federal military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to assuring federal networks remain resilient against the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, call 888-VIRUS-KNOW or go to McAfee.com/government.
Worried about cyber attacks, cyber espionage, and advanced persistent threats? HP Enterprise Security, powered by ArcSight, Tipping Point, and Fortify Solutions, gives you 360-degree security monitoring, enabling you to detect incidents, proactively test security to protect applications, and block attacks with adaptive network defenses. It has platform integration to help manage your agency's risk. Learn about HP Enterprise Security Solutions, powered by ArcSight, Tipping Point, and Fortify. Visit HPEnterpriseSecurity.com.
It happens millions of times every day. Cyber attacks aimed at the networks that are the brains and backbone of every government program and military mission. At Lockheed Martin, we understand the importance of cybersecurity. That's why we build security into every system we develop and integrate. Assuring that our customers can carry out their missions without disruptions is all a question of how. And it is the how that makes all the difference. Lockheed Martin. We never forget who we're working for.
Welcome back to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jim Fleisig, host today, here with Richard Hale from OSD, Bobby Stempfli from DHS, Colonel Serdue from U.S. Cyber Command and NSA, Lee Holcomb from Lockheed Martin, Tom Conway from McAfee, and Ray Patterson from HP. We're talking cybersecurity. We're talking about challenges that we need to overcome, some of the tough things yet out there we need to. Let's go to our private sector folks here. Let's start with Ray Patterson over HP. Ray, what's some of the things that are still, you know, on your list of difficult things that we got to overcome to get where we want to be?
Sure. So I've got two main ones, really. One is, and the panel here understands this, but I think where the message kind of gets lost is where the real work happens. And there's a belief that compliant means secure. And we all understand that's not actually the case, right? So you can check the box and be compliant but not be secure,
right?
And still have some major vulnerabilities and major incidents that happen. And so, you know, today, as it has in the past, you know, the dollars have flowed along the compliance line. And I think the evolution in terms of where we get collectively as a community has to get beyond that, kind of what was mentioned earlier in terms of looking forward at the next threat, not the ones we've already overcome. And then the second one, quite frankly, has to do more along lines of the nexus between technology and people. We still have a very big people problem in government as well as industry in terms of qualified folks that we can put on these types of problems. Cybersecurity continues to be a very, very hot market, very high demand intellectual capital, and you know, the people problem is real. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there would be, I think, increased benefit to both industry and government if we could create more collaboration along those lines.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, and technology advances so fast that to have people that understand the, you know, new technologies and be out in front of the threats is a difficult thing to do. Tom Conway, what do you think in terms of some of the challenges or the big issues that yet we still need to overcome in order to feel we're getting where we want to be?
I think the challenge is we're not anywhere close to where we need to be as a society with cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. You can look in a number of different source documents for this. GAO's weighed in on this a number of times. OSD, OT&E recently released a report. I just finished Joel Brenner's book, America the Vulnerable, which I recommend to everybody that sort of looks at it as society-wide. So we need to get more proactive. And unfortunately, the security solutions we keep coming back to, as Ray said, is compliance and signatures. Signatures are inherently reactive. You're chasing the known bad while the unknown bad is eating your lunch. So we need to get more to a behavioral model where we know what good looks like, and anything that deviates from good is considered an anomaly, which is flagged and investigated and dealt with. And also, as the colonel said, you need to get more proactive. If you know who's hitting you, are you going to sit back and continue to take punches, or are you going to do something about it proactively? So I think the challenges are, some of it is policy. How do you get ahead of the threat in terms of neutralizing it? And then how do you get beyond it from just looking at signatures and understanding what your normal behavior is in your environment, and how do you measure anomalies and detect that and remediate it at speed, as Bobby said as well. You don't have a lot of time to do this before the damage is done and irreparable. So you got to increase the speed as well. So get more proactive, get away from signatures, and get more, I guess, mitigation over outside the fence wire.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, things like FSMA, compliance issues, and even risk analysis, they're important. But it's also important that you're not focused just on that and you're missing a whole lot of other things that might be going on in other parts of a complex organization. By saying you're checking the box for the compliance issues, meanwhile, something could be going on somewhere else. It has nothing to do with those checking those boxes. Lee Holcomb, how about over at Lockheed? What are some of the things you see as the big challenges that you would like to overcome to where we need to get on the subject?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd like to focus on three specific challenges that have yet to be solved, fully solved, clearly. One of them is trusted systems. You heard about it earlier. The government wants to make sure that they are getting a trusted solution, and that becomes increasingly difficult when you look at the supply chain and the tail of that supply chain right. that goes into our solutions, especially in our very complex systems. How do you actually reach out to those suppliers and ensure that those products are, in fact, what you believe them to be and that the overall solution is secure? That remains a huge challenge. We're certainly working on that, but it's not a solved one. We've talked about it before on other programs. I'll repeat it again. The cyber workforce is a challenge that is yet to be solved. There's some good news that there seems to be a lot more activity going in building awareness. We have a huge science festival on the Mall that's scheduled in April of this year, beginning to build an awareness in science and engineering and technology. I think we need to build that in order to build a foundation for our cyber workforce. And the last area I'll come back to that we've talked about many, many times, and that is the whole environment for information sharing. It works in some pockets,
right?
But we really don't have a non-threatening environment for participants at a broad scale across the country, particularly going down into the private sector, and to deal with legal issues and retribution concerns that the participants have. So those are the three challenges.
Yeah, great. And the last one is a nice plug for our next show we're doing at the AFSCME Homeland Security Conference. We're going to focus on information and intelligence sharing on the panel that we're going to do there live at the event. Your issue about trusted solutions, I used to always kid that it's disappointing that the term firewall even exists, because if we would have built the systems to be secure in the first place, we wouldn't need firewalls to protect our systems. But anyway, we've got about 11 minutes left in our show today, and I'd like to, as we always do, talk a little bit about the future. Where's all this going? What's the vision for the future? I heard cyber Pearl Harbor, digital Pearl Harbor. Are we going to have one of those? Are we going to get proactive in advance and solve the problems before we have a major event such as that? Let's work our way back down through the panelists here, starting with Ray Patterson over at HP. What's your vision for where we're going down the road? Are we going to get out there to be proactive? Am I going to be able to sit on my computer and not worry about cybersecurity?
Boy, it'd be nice to have a crystal ball, wouldn't it? I think, the comment regarding firewalls is interesting, because there's a lot of hype and a lot of press around next-gen firewalls, for instance. So as much as we sit here and we talk about, wanting to do things better and, from the inside out, we're still very much, looking from the outside in. So we need to consider that. I think that when we look at the opportunity for the future and how things progress, the Security Operations Center has, taken on the role organizationally, or the CERT, within a business or a government, as being the security, hub. And I think that one of the things that has happened over time, and that I think will continue to happen over the next, few years, is that the role of that Security Operations Center is going to continue to be elevated, and it's going to be more permeated throughout the organization. It's not going to be, relegated to a security-only type of organization. And, things like payroll systems, things like HR systems, the interaction between the leaders of the Security Operations Center within a business or a government body, will become equally as important as those that are running other lines of business.
Yeah, terrific. Well said. I like that. Thanks. Tom Conway, what's your crystal ball look like? Where's this all going? What's it going to look like out in the future?
Hopefully in the future you're going to see all elements really contributing their strengths on a more regular basis. If you look at the government, they've got vast ability to generate intelligence, which the private sector can't, sources and means, whereas the private sector really can bring some best practices to bear, and we can sort of be the guinea pig before you try to apply that in the government. So I think that's one element in the future, that we share our best practices more at a strategic, operational, and tactical level in terms of information sharing. But I think we really need to also exercise that more rigorously. There's a lot of tests from CyberScope to national level exercise. I would hope that things like CyberFlag get opened up to the private sector as well. That way we're continuously testing the evolving threats, the evolving technologies against each other. And then finally, from those two elements, we really need to develop some more metrics. Going to Ray's point, what is good, what is bad, what is in the gray area that we need to investigate further? Right now, we're chasing our tail. We're chasing known bads. We really need to define what good is and try to, again, focus on things that are deviating from good and mitigate them accordingly.
Yeah, well said. Good points there. Richard Hale, OSD, what's it look like to you out in the future?
So if the question is, are we ever going to get there and have good dependability and confidentiality?
Well, part of my question is, will I ever be able to sit down at my computer and not worry about knowing, just feel like, okay, I don't have to worry about cybersecurity?
So I think it's possible to get a lot closer than we are. But what we want is to help you worry about cybersecurity in a way that everybody can understand. So the internet wasn't designed. There aren't many good things about being old, but one good thing is I remember how all this stuff got invented. Right. And the internet wasn't designed with any notion of threat. We were all friends. Everybody was a grad student. You know, everybody was inventing new ways of interacting.
Kind of like social networking now. It's all work together.
That's right. The core computing technologies and programming technologies were never intended to consider threat. There isn't any notion of that built into any of that stuff. Engineering doesn't consider it. Industrial control systems, SCADA systems don't consider it. So we're really pretty fragile because we never worried about threat. So we're trying to fix that after the fact. This stuff exploded and we hooked everything together much faster than anybody considered we ever would. So we need more core technologies that are much less susceptible, right? We think those can be designed. We think those can be built. And then we need a lot more technologies that give human beings more reliable, more understandable cues about what's safe and what isn't.
Right.
Because, again, we've moved so much of human interaction and corporate and industrial interaction onto the net. We need the net to help us kind of get that. So we need R&D on tech. We need significant changes in engineering education and practices. So that threat is considered in everything we do, just the same way gravity is considered in everything that a civil engineer does, for instance. And then I think we can get to a point where, yes, you can sit at your computer and you'll know when you're safe and when you're not, and you can make risk decisions that actually are sensible.
Cool. Look forward to those days. Lee Holcomb, what do you think? What's it look like out in the future to you, Lee?
Well, I think that one of the key things is we need to change the advantage from the offense to the defense. And one of the ways that we think we'll make that happen is through our intelligence-driven defense mindset, where you look at the patterns and the behavior of the bad actors. A lot of that activity is done from the firewall inside the organization, and I think that's advancing very well. But I'd like to address another dimension. Mm-hmm. I think organizations need to begin to focus on what's happening out there in the wild on the network. And we talked about big data. You know, it's now feasible to collect billions of information bits off the network, right, and from that filter through what the bad actors are doing out there and begin to build intelligence on what they're doing or they're about to do.
Right.
And I think it's a combination of looking within your network and also looking out. That will change the game.
Terrific. Well said, Lee. Colonel Serdeau, what's your future look like? Crystal ball out there.
So we talked a lot today about cyber being a team sport. It's also a contact sport. And I think as we move into the future, you're going to see a lot more proactive, active cyber defense, building processes that allow us to react and respond very quickly and in a very agile way. The private sector has a lot to offer. The Department of Defense has a lot to offer. Most of our critical infrastructure is maintained, built by the private sector. And what we know is that we're only as strong as the weakest link, and the adversary only has to be successful just once. So the U.S. government's efforts to secure our own interests in cyberspace, I think, would be greatly appreciated if every American exercised due diligence in protecting their own networks and systems. So programs like DHS's Stop, Think, Connect, right, those are the kinds of things that are raising awareness and making people be more confident or just behave better, right, in their own private dealings. And that goes along with a constant focus on cyber education at all levels. Right, so the government reaches out in a lot of ways. We'll continue to do that. You know, NSA and DHS have partnered to sponsor a program that certifies educational institutions as centers for academic excellence and information assurance. I think you'll see a lot more of that. You'll see a lot of outreach at junior levels in STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, education programs where the government sponsors a lot of that. So a more secure internet really means more privacy, more safety in your financial dealings, more safety in internet commerce. And so we can make cyberspace a safer, more secure environment, and we can do that without impinging on people's constitutional rights, civil liberties, and privacy.
I agree.
So I think you'll see a lot of that in the future.
Good. Thank you very much. Bobby Stempley, we started with you, and you're the final words of wisdom today. What do you see? What's your future look like and where all this is going?
Well, so I have the not being, not admitting to being old in this situation and recognizing that while it is a team sport and a contact sport, it's also a league, right? It's a league from the littlest person on the field to the professional folks, and we have to span all of that, and our future vision has to span all of that. So it's about the people. It's about bringing them in, building them up, and helping them understand what their responsibilities are. From my son and daughters, and my mom, my dad, my friends, my neighbors, as well as the company that provides my banking support in that environment, and my partner in the situation with commerce and others. So we have to have some really key things, and we're on a path to do that. Things like better identity, so that I can trust my financial transaction in that situation. That's a different, slightly different model inside government than it is with industry. We have to have the kind of automation, and we're on the path for that as well. That requires things like standards. It requires the things like taking advantage of these design, these re-architecting moments to put that in place, being able to operate at the kinds of speeds that are necessary. We have to have the kind of interoperability between all of these pieces, right, the devices, the people, the organizations, the processes, to enable us to be able to work all of this complex system together in a way that's understandable to me, to my son who's 12, you know, to my mom who's a little older than 12 in that environment. And I think if you look at things like the Blueprint for a More Secure Cyber Future, those things help lay out where we need to go as a nation and in this environment to be successful.
Excellent. Well put. Appreciate that. Well, we got about a minute or so here to go, so let me just try to close up here. We covered a full gamut of issues. Well, a couple I wrote, as I always do, I write down a couple words that come up over and over again, points I think that we hit on. One is, this is a complex subject. It's a very complex subject. It's got all kinds of aspects to it. We need to do a better job. We need to keep the focus on information sharing, awareness, and coordination. It's going to take everybody. So everybody working together is what it's going to take to address these issues. Situational awareness is important. You have to know what you're trying to protect out there. We had a lot of talk about the maturing of security and trusted solutions coming along. A lot of challenges out there yet, some of them with trust, money, budgets, and so forth, all being helping drive some of this. But we did come away with a sense that we are getting more proactive and out in front of the issues as opposed to waiting for bad things to happen. We're trying to prevent things in advance, and I think that is, over the last several years, a trend that has really continued. So first of all, I want to do is thank our panelists for taking time from their busy days. You all have very high-level executive positions, so we appreciate you taking time to come out to be on the show today. Thank our sponsors, of course, who sponsored the show. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do it. Thank our good friends at WTOP and Federal News Radio for everything they do to make this go on. And, of course, our listening audience out there that will listen to the show. Thank you for listening. Next month, we come to you live from the AFSEA Homeland Security Conference, talking intelligence and information sharing. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Thank you for listening to the 2012 Federal Executive Forum Series on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This show was produced by the Trezza Media Group and the Fleisig Group. If you missed any portion of this show, you can listen to it in its entirety and on demand at federalnewsradio.com.